I had the privilege of speaking just a couple of weeks ago, and the reason I'm back is that we're currently running two series in parallel. Last time I spoke on the prophet Isaiah, and we've been looking at some of the Old Testament prophets, but we're also running parallel with that a series called Aspects of Prayer. And so I have the opportunity today to talk to you a little bit about prayer. On that regard, may I just take this moment, especially since Jim has slipped out, to comment on how exceptionally well Jim Memory spoke last Sunday. Jim spoke on Jeremiah. I thought it was one of the best sermons from him that I've heard in quite some time. And if you missed it, let me make a point that all of our sermons in this church are recorded and they are available online. If you go to the website KRBC, then you can download and listen to any messages you may have missed. So I don't know about listening to this one again, but I certainly would recommend you listen to Jim from last week. Is that okay? Okay, good. So, prayer. I quite like this little slogan that I came across. I like the sentiment in there. I want to make a promise to you today. I am not going to lay a guilt trip on you. I've heard sermons on prayer in the past, and you know, you think, oh, you know, almost a sense of, you know, you must pray more, you miserable sinner. All the problems you have are because you're not sinning enough. Sorry, not sinning. Whoop. You know, I love the way that our audio editor takes out those bits from the tape. You know what I mean. You know, it's easy to say you ought to be praying more. And probably, actually, each one of us, to some extent, yes, we ought to pray more than we do. But that doesn't mean we have to give ourselves a guilt trip over it. Because God is a God of grace. But no, you shouldn't be sinning more than you currently are. Thank you. So here is my key verse from today. We're going to come back to this again and again and again. It's going to draw out three truths from this passage, and you'll know how we're getting along. Pray in the Spirit on all occasions, says Paul, with all kinds of prayers and requests. With this in mind, be alert and always keep on praying for all the saints. Well, here's our first point then. We need to pray with all kinds of prayers and requests. Well, to be honest, I hardly need to labor that point. But here's a challenge. In a moment, my son Daniel is going to click the timer on his watch for a 2 minutes timer. And during those 2 minutes, I want to see if we as a congregation can come up with perhaps 30 things we could pray for. It might be, for example, Liz's back. It might be, if you're interested, the new leader of the Labour Party. It might not be interesting. Might be something else, but let's call it, not all at the same time, but snap, 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 30 different things we could pray for. I'll come down here to make it easier. And as soon as the first person calls out a possible prayer request, then Dan will start the timer and we have 2 minutes to hit them. So think about one now. Ready, steady, go.
This is bad.
Well, good, keep going.
Syria.
Good.
Two pastors in Sudan.
Brilliant. Come on. Good. Examples are important. Yeah, keep going.
Government.
Yep, that's good. Government's good. Someone else?
Who's going to college?
Who's going to college? Absolutely. Come on, keep going. Alex Placement. Those who mourn. Yes, come on, keep going.
Peace.
Peace is good, yep. Okay, yep, come on. Come on. Health worries, yes. Yes. Yeah. Willingness to speak to others. That's good. Keep going. Come on.
The children.
The children, absolutely. New pastor for here. Come on. Persecuted church. Anybody else?
Forgiveness.
Forgiveness for who? For me? Yes, absolutely. Yes, teachers. Yep. Unemployed. Absolutely. That's good. New school. Come on. That's good. Climate. I like that over here. Racial integration. Brilliant one. Yep, come on. The Cowies. Very good. What? Injustice in the world. Say when 2 minutes is up. Everybody else, come on. Harrisons, yes, come on.
Politicians,
absolutely, need them. Come on, anybody else? Anybody else? Soil good? Redcliffe College, yes. Yep, homeless people, yep. Got, yep, good, because new bishop, what was this? Migrant crisis. 2 minutes takes a long time, doesn't it? How are we doing? 3 seconds, okay, come on, let's go, let's go, let's go, come on. 3 seconds, come on. Family, yep, absolutely. Pray family. Sorry?
Doctors,
yes, pray for them. Pray for more of them. Pray for good doctors. Safe traveling, yes. Security services, absolutely. Yep. Afghanistan, big issue. The Nepal recovery from that earthquake, yep. Thank you. I need to change the timer signal. So, he's back. Don't tell him what I said. So, Dan, how many did we get?
We got like 37.
That's pretty good. That's pretty good. I wonder if you know, if some of those requests you perhaps wouldn't instinctively pray about yourself. You know, and yet, they're all good requests. And, you know, you can pray about them in church, but in our own prayer lives, there are also things we could be praying about. And I think sometimes our prayers are too narrow. Lord, help me, help my family, help my workmate. And you just had 37 excellent examples of how we might pray with all kinds of prayers and requests. We should probably pray more widely than we do. Here's a second point from this verse. Talks about on all occasions. Talks about always keep on praying for all the saints. I think we talked about praying more widely. I think we probably ought to be praying more often than we do. And Paul doesn't say this just once. Here's a lovely verse from Thessalonians. Paul says, be joyful always. Pray continually. Give thanks in all circumstances. Why? For this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. Pray continually. And just going back there to our verse in Ephesians. Again, it's a very simple concept. I don't need to labor it, that we should be praying more often than we do. And I myself, you know, I'm not one of these. I admire prayer warriors. I admire intercessors, people who spend a couple of hours every day. Hats off to them. It's not me. And yet, I pray a lot. I pray in church. I pray in my own private devotions. But I pray at other times too, and I wonder when you pray. Sometimes, one of the most boring things in my week is doing the shopping. Walking around the supermarket, pick up a tin of beans, get 3 loaves of bread, I feel like a robot, tell you. Haven't got into this ordering stuff online. You know, great opportunity to use some of that time for prayer. One of the things that I like to do in my own life is, if there's something on my mind, I will walk around the block. If there's a lot on my mind, I'll walk around an even bigger block. And I'll just talk to God, and I'll talk to God about the things troubling me, and I'll talk to God out loud. Some people like praying, they sit down, or they kneel down, and they stay in one place. I like to move around, and I'll walk around the streets of church town talking to God. And sometimes, you know, people will walk past me and they look at me. And they, who's this man talking to someone who isn't there? Well, he is there. You just can't see him. And they look at me a little bit odd, perhaps. But actually, I don't care. Because I'd rather be talking to my father and to my friend. And here's a rule of thumb for you. If there is a topic that you might perhaps be nattering to your neighbors about, maybe it's the grandkids or nattering about the, you know, the economy or your health or something like that, then talk to God about it as well. It doesn't have to be just for, you know, a Sunday morning. Talk to God continually, regularly about these things that concern you. Just like we had really on our opening slide. Let's turn things into prayer. Well, Jim earlier was trying to be all trendy and youthy and talked about Shakira and all these things. It's great to connect the young people in it to get to our age. So I'll do that as well, and I'll go all trendy here and I'll say, yo, goodness, you young people, when you're tweeting about some issue, you know, you want to tweet about something because you're a twit. I know, it's good enough. Then, use that as a spur to prayer. If it's worth 147 characters, it's worth turning it into God. And the thing about prayer is, God's voice recognition is better than Siri's. That was my really youth trendy thing there, because I'm really connecting here. So you know, it doesn't just have to be talking to about the grandkids, whoever we are. When you're talking, when you're relating, social media or wherever else, use it as a spur to prayer. Well, let's do that. Dan's got his timer out. Let's spend 3 minutes together praying. Now, we had some silent prayer. Now, I like silent prayer. I think it has its place. But right now, we're going to do some congregational prayer. And I'm going to see, we're going to have 3 minutes this time. See if we can't get 30 people to pray in 3 minutes. That would be a challenge, wouldn't it? Now, I do want people to pray twice, please. I'd like 30 different people to raise their voices. So here's the rules. Single sentences. Don't want long prayers. Single sentences. Can be a praise or a thanks or a sorry or a please. Whatever you want, but pray your prayer, say amen. As soon as you've said amen, let someone else start immediately. And then we'll go on and go on. Sometimes what happens is two people will start at the same time. We all get embarrassed by that. Don't worry. If two people start at the same time, just keep going. It only lasts for 10 seconds. Just keep going, say amen, and then someone else can carry on from there. Because we ought to pray more often than we do. We ought to pray in church more often than we do. And sometimes it's because we're a bit embarrassed. But if I can get 30 people praying today, I think it'll do us some good. So Dan is going to start for me. And as soon as he starts, he'll hit his timer. As soon as he says amen, then please, let's follow up and let's try and get people praying. Is that clear? Okay, bit different. It's an aspect of prayer, and let's push out the boat a little bit. Prayer, praise, thank you, sorry, please, or something else. Make it your prayers. Daniel, over to you, man.
Thank you, God, for the joy of gathering together. Amen.
Amen.
Father, we want to just ask for youngsters who are facing new situations and uncertain about the future.
Amen. Amen.
Thank you for the opportunities you give us as church.
Amen. Thank you that you love us as we are.
Amen. Thank you that we can come into your presence at any time.
Amen. Jesus, bring resources to those who have been with us.
Yes.
We continue to pray for you for this.
Amen.
Help us to comfort those who are in
the We continue to pray for Frank and Ivy's daughter, Ella. Continual strength and healing.
Amen. Father, pray for exam results that they give and your
nap.
Pray for those who are waiting in long queues, Lord.
Mm-hmm.
I want to pray for a spirit-filled church. Amen.
Amen.
Thank you for family love. Amen.
Pray for this church in its search for a new one.
Amen.
Thank you for my new grandson. Amen.
For the colors, flavors, and smells that you provide, thank you.
Amen.
Pray for the doctors and nurses in our hospital.
May the words of our mouth, the meditations of our heart, and pleading your sweat, Lord of our Redeemer.
Amen. Amen.
Pray your peace upon those words, hold on to our challenges. Amen.
Lord, we pray for Ali as she starts to face me. And Father, God, we pray for the children and the children's groups outside.
Father, I thank you for Julia and all the work that she does with the children and the families here. Amen.
Well, we thank you for the elders, for their spiritual oversight and care.
Amen. We thank you for each other.
Amen. And thank you.
Thank you for prayer.
Pray, God, for those serving you in countries where it's not safe to openly follow you.
Thank you very much. That was fantastic. And how many was that then? 38 people in 3 minutes. Fantastic. Now, I had a sense there, you know, of how much of God the Father looks down on his people, how much pleasure he must take from hearing 38 people lifting their voices up to him in prayer. It's really good. We might not do that every Sunday, but it's a good thing to do. We ought to pray more widely. We also ought to pray more often than we do. That's what Paul is encouraging us to do. Okay, number three, point three. Isn't that amazing? We've got to the third point of the sermon ever so quickly. So we might get home for dinner. You'd be lucky. Paul says, pray in the Spirit. The problem is, what does that actually mean, to pray in the Spirit? Now, I'd ask you to forgive me as I go into a little bit of Greek, not too much Greek, but a little bit of Greek. And if you take the Greek that Paul uses, they have the word here, en pneumati. And that's a phrase that occurs many times in the New Testament. And here are some ways it is translated, to pray in the Spirit, as we have here in Ephesians. Jesus uses it, saying that God's followers will pray in spirit and in truth. So in spirit, we have Jesus says that when I drive out demons by the Spirit of God, he's using en pneumati. And obviously going from one language to another, it's not always exact. But as an emphasis here, what does it mean? That prayer is being facilitated by God's Holy Spirit. So how does God's Holy Spirit facilitate prayer? Well, here's one example for you, taken from Romans chapter 8. I wonder if someone would be so kind as to read that out for me.
The Spirit helps us in our weakness. We do not know what we ought to pray for, but the Spirit himself intercedes for us with groans that words cannot express. And he who searches our hearts knows the mind of the Spirit, because the Spirit intercedes for the saints in accordance with God's will.
Thank you very much. I wonder if you have ever come to prayer and you find that actually words fail you. Maybe you have. You know, you're longing to just to express your gratitude and your praise to God, and you can't get the words out. There don't seem to be enough words in the English dictionary. Or maybe you want to, you know, you're coming to cry over some loss, some sorrow in the world, and you just want to pour out your heart to God, and you just can't find the words. Or perhaps even you have done something wrong, and you feel such sorrow over a mistake you made, and you come on your knees, and you cry out to God, and words just do not suffice. Well, you know, our faith, this faith we share, is not expressed exclusively by the mind or the intellect. That there is an emotional aspect, a spiritual aspect to our human identities. And God's Holy Spirit helps us, comes alongside us to guide us to pray at a deeper level than just purely what our minds are capable of. We begin to experience prayer as a richer communion with God Almighty, rather than as something mechanistic, rather than just simply saying one prayer after another. And if you read some of the people who have written some of the great prayers, people who pray and write books about this over the centuries, they'll often use some figurative language, some rich language to express this what this means to go deeper into God. And when you hear a preacher come along and say, if you want to pray, you've got to go deeper into God, you've got to have more intimate communion with God, you've got to pray in the Spirit, generally speaking, there are three reactions. Reaction number one will be, yes, I hear you. I know where you're coming from. I understand it. I'm there with you. And they'll use expressions like, for example, we're flowing in the Spirit, or we're going deeper into God. Or you get a second reaction. People say, well, I hear you. I understand what you're saying, but to be honest, I don't see it in practice in my own life. Or you get a third reaction, and the third reaction is simply, that is just mystical mumbo jumbo. We don't need it. If I want to pray, I will craft the best prayers my intellect can come up with, and I will say them to God. And if I struggle, I'll go and I'll find a book of prayers that more clever people have written, and I'll use those prayers, and that's it. And I don't need any of this going deeper into God business. Well, there's three reactions. Here's an illustration of what I mean. This could be rather embarrassing. Forgive me. Embarrassing for me, that's to say. Do you like my picture? Now, if you can read what is on the screen, put up your hand. Fantastic. Put your hands down. I am red-green colorblind. If you cannot, thank you. If you cannot read what is on that screen, I would ask you to put up your hand. Thank you. Mostly men, one lady. Now, I look at those dots, and I'm sorry, I cannot see a thing. And it's not just me, it's Eric as well, and a few other people. I cannot see a thing. But what do you see? Jim, you wouldn't wind me up, would you? Okay, let's not ask Jim. Jim, what do you see?
Diagonally, it says God, and then the top right corner is a cross, a Celtic-type cross.
Now you're winding me up. Now, honestly, because of the way I am built, the way that my eyes are, to me, that is all dots. But you all see God on the cross, is that right?
Yeah.
Every one of you, most of you. Anyone see anything different? See a pony or anything? Well, There's no reason why I should doubt your testimony. You know, all these people say, we see something that you, Gregory, cannot see. There's no reason why I should doubt you. You know, Jim possibly, no, even then. But, you know, it stands to reason your testimony will be sound, but I still can't see it. And yet I know, because I made this with Josiah's help, I know that if I take that and put it into Photoshop and play with it and transform it and change the reds into blues and the greens into yellows, then I can sort of see it. And I can sort of see God and the cross. I don't see it exactly as you see it, but I know, I see evidence that actually it's there. But as things stand at present, that's just gobbledygook to me. That's just a maze of meaninglessness to me. And yet, I believe you. And there is more to this world than just what we see and touch. As Christians, we know that. We know that there is a spiritual dimension to life. That I may not be able to see the God I talk to when I walk around the street, but he sees me and he listens to me. We know there's more. And in the same way, there is more to prayer than we have experienced up to now. Whether you've been following Jesus for 10 years or 50 years, there is more to prayer. And sometimes we need to take a step of faith. We need to say, we need to learn how to pray in spirit and in truth. And here's a verse that expresses some of this tension. Paul says, I will pray with my spirit, but I will also pray with my mind. I will sing with my spirit. I will also sing with my mind. Well, what does Paul mean there? What does he mean? To pray with spirit and to pray with mind. Mind, we understand. What does it mean with spirit? Well, to work out what he's saying, you would have to open your Bibles. You'd have to look at 1 Corinthians 14. You'd have to look at the context. And when you look at the context, we see that in this case, in this context, he's talking about speaking in tongues. Now, I want you to bear with me, please, I want to spend a little bit of time looking at speaking in tongues as one aspect of praying in the Spirit. Not all of it, but one aspect of praying in the Spirit. I'd like us to look at praying in tongues. Why? Because I know that a number of people here today have had an experience in the past where they have heard people praying in tongues, or they themselves have been praying in tongues, and perhaps over the years that becomes something that they do rarely. For other people, there's a curiosity about the topic, and as preachers, we're called to open up God's Word. So let me very quickly hit you with 8 points about praying or speaking in tongues. Number one. Now, I haven't got time to read all of these passages. 1 Corinthians 12, verse 30 is there. We know that God gives different abilities to different people. So, I don't have a gift of healing. I'm sorry, it'd be very nice if I could just pray for the sick. God doesn't use me in that way. God uses me in other ways. So, I don't expect everyone to speak in tongues. It's okay not to speak in tongues. And I think it's important to say that at the outset, because some other preachers do give people a huge guilt trip and they feel very inferior because they don't do something in particular. Number two, tongues, the gift of speaking in tongues, comes from God. The verses are there. It is a gift. It is a good gift. God gives good gifts to his children. There is no need to feel hesitant about, is God going to give me something that will harm me? Number three. Perhaps someone could read that that verse for me, 1 Corinthians 14, verse 2.
Anyone who speaks in a tongue does not speak to men, but to God. Indeed, no one understands him. He utters mysteries in the Spirit.
Thank you very much. Speaking in tongues is essentially a form of prayer. It's God directed. It allows the human spirit, the human emotions, to express their prayer to God. And I say to you, praying in the Spirit is much more than just praying in tongues. But in this context, here in 1 Corinthians 14, Paul is talking about tongues. That prayer is more than just using our intellect. Number four, that Paul himself saw personal value in speaking in tongues. He reports there in that verse that he himself did so a lot. Now, he didn't make a big thing about it. He doesn't walk around saying, I speak in tongues more than all of you. And yet, he used a gift. He saw it as a good gift. He used it a lot in his own life. And I think it is good to follow the examples of the apostles. Number five. Praying in tongues does you good. That's what the scripture says. I've taken that from the New Living Translation. He who speaks in a tongue is strengthened personally in the Lord. The NIV says it edifies you. It builds you up. It makes you strong. It's a gift. That if you use it just a little, you gain a small benefit. But if you pray much, using your mind, using tongues, using your spirit, you benefit much. And that's very simple, but it's worth saying. If God gives you this ability and you don't use it, then you are depriving yourself of some of the blessings of heaven. Number six, moving very quickly. Tongues can be confusing. Tell me about it. Paul, in his argument in this chapter, he postulates an extreme example that there's people gather together for church and everyone starts speaking. It seems like gibberish and people come in and look around and say, you're all mad. And that's obviously tongues. When taken to an extreme, tongues can be problematic. But then again, to be honest, anything taken to an extreme can become problematic. Doesn't mean we should chuck out the baby with the bathwater, to use that particular idiom. Number seven, Paul says that prophecy is superior to tongues. Would someone be so kind as to read the verse for me, please?
Anyone who speaks in a tongue does not speak to men but to God. But everyone who prophesies speaks to men for their strengthening, encouragement, and comfort.
Thank you. Now, the context here is crucially important. Paul is not saying prophecy good, tongues bad. He's not saying that. What he's doing, he's addressing an imbalance. Because the Corinthians have gone to an extreme. The Corinthians, some people in the church in Corinth are walking around saying, I speak in tongues, it's a badge of honor. Look, I'm more spiritual than you. Oh, don't you speak in tongues, oh, poor you. And Paul is correcting an imbalance. And what he's saying is, prophecy is good. Tongues is also good, but prophecy is more useful than tongues. And I think that the entire chapter here needs to be read within that context. And then finally, number eight, moving very quickly today. Final point on speaking in tongues. Should people speak in tongues in a church service? Well, that's perhaps the most controversial thing I'm going to say today, and I'd ask you to trust me as I open up the Word of God. Should we restrict tongues just to private prayer at home? Well, churches come to different positions. It's not for me to say what a individual church's position ought to be. It's my job today to look at the Word of God. And there are different passages you could look at. For example, here, this text is seen by many as a proof text. Paul says, if anyone speaks in a tongue, two or at the most three should speak one at a time, and someone must interpret. If there is no interpreter, the speaker should keep quiet in the church and speak to himself and God. And some people would take that verse and argue that therefore we should have no tongues in a congregational setting. You've got no interpreter here, so at home, if you have to, keep it quiet. Don't want to hear it. But then again, we have verses like this in the very same chapter. Paul says, therefore, my brothers, be eager to prophesy and do not forbid speaking in tongues. And how are you going to reconcile those two positions? People say, well, prophecy is in a congregational setting. Therefore, Paul's obviously talking about tongues in a congregational setting as well. Well, to try to help find maybe a way through today, I want to give you an analogy. Some of you will know that I spent 10 years working overseas as a missionary. And during that time, I had the privilege of learning a number of languages, including Portuguese. And I would preach and pray regularly in Portuguese. Now, I'm grateful for the opportunity to come and preach to you from this pulpit, but imagine if one day I got up and started to preach in Portuguese. Agora, meus amigos, estou muito contente de ficar aqui e fazer a pregação sobre oração, porque é tão importante, não é? Now, I might enjoy that, and Jim might get some of my bad accent, because it's Spanish, and Daniel, of course, follows it, but for everybody else, there's no benefit. I could preach in Portuguese, but actually, people say, well, excuse me, could you not just preach in English? It might make a bit more sense. But what about if I was to pray? Suppose Jim later on is going to lead us in worship, and he'll say, right, can I have three people to pray? And so Derek starts off, and he prays a great prayer like he does. And then Ali comes, and she prays a great prayer as she does. And then I stand up, and I say, a nosso Senhor, sou muito contente também a adorar o nosso nome, porque o seu nome é tão glorioso. Amen. Amen. Thank you. Now, if I did that in Brunswick Baptist Church, probably would be okay. Because they've got loads of Brazilian people over there who could say amen. But in this church, to be honest, people are going to say, well, you know, it's nice as a one-off, but, you know, we like it when you pray, Gregory, most of the time. So could you please pray in English? Very few people will benefit. And Paul's issue is, whatever you do, whatever you say, who benefits? Now, take a third scenario. Suppose Jim's leading us in worship, and it's a really nice song, and we're all lifted in our spirits, and I then stop singing because God has touched me, and I want to pray about some of the things that has been said to me through that song. And I choose to pray in Portuguese. I won't do it now, but I choose to pray. Everyone else is singing, and I'm quietly standing there in my chair, praying in Portuguese. That would not be a distraction to anybody. Now, you could say, well, Gregory, why not pray in English? Well, I could pray in English, but sometimes, actually, I just enjoy praying in Portuguese. It's just another language that has different expressions. It would not distract anybody. There would be no harm. Third example. Suppose later on Jim was again to lead us in prayer. You won't sit there again, will you? Jim wants to lead us in prayer. And Jim said, right, this time, to be different, we're going to pray all at the same time. Just lift your voice and just praise God, and not taking turns, just praying all at the same time. And so Dan's there praying in English, Lord God, thank you for today, and thank you for that great preacher. You never know. And someone else is there, Ali's there praying and everything else. And over there we hear a Hosanna, Amen, Hallelujah, which might possibly be Hebrew. And then over here we have Gregory praying in Portuguese because he chooses to do so. Again, there's no harm in that. There's no distraction. There's no problem in it. And I want to suggest to you that if it's true for Portuguese, it ought to be true for heavenly languages. It should be true also for tongues. Here's a key verse that guides us in this. Let everything be done in a fitting and an orderly way. Tongues is good for you. If God has given you a gift, use it. And I'd love to take this little mini exposition of 1 Corinthians 14 further. It would be fascinating to look at interpretation and to show how the dynamic that can bring to a worship service, but time doesn't allow. It wouldn't really be appropriate. But let me say, that does not cause offense through speaking in tongues. Let's not offend people, but neither, according to Scripture, should we restrict the practice entirely. So if you've received that gift in the past, you probably ought to be using it more. Right, I'm going to finish. Here's my central verse again. 3 points. Point one, pray more widely. Point two, pray more often. Point three, took a bit longer, pray in the Spirit. As I said earlier on, this idea of praying enumati, praying in the Spirit, it does reference tongues, but there's so much more than just praying in tongues. Praying in the Spirit is about going deeper into God. It's about, in your prayer life, learning to listen to the voice of God's Holy Spirit. It's about praying directed, energized prayers. Prayers that flow from the heart of God. Prayers that don't rely on the head, but come from much deeper. And you know, personally, we all have different styles. Personally, I love it when a congregation is praying in concert, and people are all over praying at the same time and raising their voices at the same time. I love that. Some people are praying in English and some in Portuguese, maybe some in tongues. I personally love that. I love it when people begin to relax in the Holy Spirit and to maybe begin some spontaneous songs, and over there someone starts just singing, not with the instruments, just singing praise to God. Someone else does it. Someone over here begins to sing in tongues and they flow together in a beautiful melody. For me, that's a little bit like being in heaven. But we all have different styles of prayer, different aspects of prayer. And we're going to close now by some silent prayer. You had some practice earlier. Just take a moment and let's pray to God where we are. Let your prayer be, perhaps, Lord, help me to pray more widely. Lord, help me to pray more frequently. And Lord, help me to pray more deeply. Let's be silent in the presence of God. Lord Jesus, I recognize that I myself have been following you for a long time, but there's so much more I still need to learn about prayer. I'm sure the same is true of all of us. And help us, Holy Spirit, guide us, direct us. Help us to go beyond where we've attained thus far. Help us to pray with more fervor, with more consistency. with more discernment. Help us to touch your heart and to use those gifts you've given to us, that we might be effective, that we might be loved, and we might carry more and more of the fragrance of Jesus. God, help us this day. Amen.